Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're in Job. We got to verse 6 of chapter 1. And we have here as the accuser of the brethren, you know, coming before the Almighty and accusing Job. And I guess that's the best way that I can put it. How that works today, I don't know. I know we have trials and tribulations that we are tried by and proved by. And I believe that the trials and tribulation are for us more than anybody else. Now, Job goes through a severe trial here. So let's jump into Job's severe trial. And this is just the beginning of it. And Satan says, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahuwah. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, I tell you, Satan don't mess around, does he? If he has power to kill, steal, and destroy, he will use every bit of that power. And so we have the promise. We don't have to worry about this, I guess, that he will lay on us no more than we can bear. And perhaps we're not as strong as Job, because I don't know how Job could stand up under all of this that's coming upon him. And it's just beginning. Now, I question myself, would I be able to stand? What choice would I have? You know, if I lose everything in this life, all I have left is what comes after this life. Something to think about. And while he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And he was yet speaking, and there came also another, and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's home. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And of course, here he uses the name, the actual name, the 3068. So, Yahuwah gave and Yahuwah taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahuwah. That's his, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And I can relate to that a little bit. My life has been no bed of roses, and I remember saying those same words after a very hard life and a lot of trials and tribulations. I knew that was going to happen. Hold on a second. Many trials and tribulations, I found myself a faithful wife, and everything was going great. Yeah, that's right. And I was falling more in love with this woman every day. And then she got pregnant, and we both rejoiced. This is a true story. But then in the third month of the pregnancy, she died with my child. And I said these words, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And still today, I wonder why sometimes, but I don't have that answer. And I come up with the answer. The answer is sin. You know, perhaps not mine, but the very sin that entered in at the beginning. That's why all evil happens. And so the occasion has taught me to hate sin even more. Not to curse God because I lost, because I suffered a great loss in my life, but to worship Him and to look forward to the promises of the Almighty. If I lose everything in this life, it matters not. And here I think Satan moved foolishly by taking everything all at once. Maybe if he took things incrementally away from Job, a little at a time, he could have worked on him slowly. But to take everything all at once so that all a man has is left is what comes after this life. It seems kind of like a foolish move. But anyway, after all these things, after suffering this terrible, great loss of everything, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, the trial I went through 5 years ago that I just relayed to you, if it had happened 20 years ago, maybe not. Maybe I would have sinned. Maybe I would have charged God foolishly. Yes, as a matter of fact, I know I would have, because I did a lot of foolish things, and I blamed God for a lot of things that happened to me early in my walk. Let's go to Job chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahuwah, before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." So here, Job's already lost everything, but he still has his health. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So you can do anything, but you can't kill him. Yikes. I hope this conversation never happens about me. Oh, man, I would not want to be in his shoes. But I guess we all come to that point where, you know, we're going to lose our life and at least a few minutes before we die. But, yeah, I know there are people that suffer terrible in their flesh before they die. Some suffer for a short time, some suffer for years, and some for just a few minutes, perhaps. And perhaps the ones that are really blessed, you know, they live to a ripe old age, and they lay down and go to sleep and just never get back up. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So he says, yeah, everything but his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahuwah, the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. and he sat down among the ashes. And it just hurts to read that the only relief that he could have was to take a piece of broken pottery and scrape the sores. Yes. Then said his wife to him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Curse God and die? Yikes. I don't know. If Job was righteous and upright, he feared God and eschewed evil, who was this woman that he was married to have so little understanding, to live with this man, and to have so little understanding to say, "Curse God and die"? Dost thou still retain thine integrity? But he said to her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" Yeah. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We went through the Proverbs. We went through Ecclesiastes. Job expresses it here perfectly. Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? I have to say, Job is, from what I read here, he's more upright than I am. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came, every one, from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Good friends. You're sick, they're going to come and mourn with you and try to comfort you, right? And when they lifted up their eyes afar off, and they knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights. And none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Sounds like pretty good friends, huh? I don't think I have three friends that would come and sit and fast and pray with me and mourn with me for 7 days and 7 nights. Of course, Job was an unusual man. Must have been. And he was a very rich man, too. But all his riches were gone. He lost everything now. And now he's losing his health. After this, 7 days of silence, Job, they didn't even recognize him. These boils from head to toe. He's scraping them with a potsherd. He's unrecognizable. But they knew it was him. They rent their mantle, and they sat on the ground, and they threw dust up in the air, and they mourned with him 7 days. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, and let not God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it." Well, you know what he's saying. He's saying, "Man, what I'm suffering now is so grievous, I wish I had never been born. It would have been better if I had never been born." I've had those fleeting thoughts at times in my life, but they were fleeting thoughts. And of course, what comes with them is the temptation to suicide. Yes, I can say I've met that demon, but I didn't entertain him. That's where you get into trouble. And that's where drugs come in. People that drink and do alcohol or in these methamphetamines and all these drugs, you'll find that usually those drugs accompany suicide or murder. Murder and suicide are the same sin. That's why a lot of murder-suicide goes together, whether accompanied with drugs or not. But this is the beginning of it. I wish I'd never been born. It's that bad. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why was I even born? I should have been stillborn. That's what he's saying. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? If this is the end, what was it all for? You know? Yes, the emotions run deep. I mean, it's hard when you're in a situation, some situations, to control your emotions. And it's not wrong to succumb to them at times. It's good to feel things. It's good to feel good emotions. And it's good to feel bad emotions. You're alive. But do the emotions rule? Or do you rule the emotions? Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost? Why did the knees prevent? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why did the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. He's saying, I wouldn't be suffering this now. I would be still and quiet in the grave if I hadn't been born, if I had died in the womb, or if I had died immediately at birth. He's saying, now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept then, had I been at rest. Then had I been at rest. With kings and councils of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor, and he's talking about death, of course. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, from whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. Job chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered him and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. And they're testifying to the type of man that Job was. That's what he's saying. You have given so much, in other words. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not thus thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? He's saying, how can you be innocent? How could this come upon you, being innocent? If you're righteous, why are you being cut off? That's what Eliphaz is saying here. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. That's a true saying. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But doesn't evil come on the good? Do not the innocent suffer? By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of the nostrils they are consumed. The roaring of the lion, and the voice of the fierce lion, and the teeth of the young lions are broken, and the old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll pick up here when we get back. Take time to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you subscribe there to my blog, and let me hear from you. We'll be back.